Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Entrepreneurial Impact. This is David Donaldson riding along with Angie McDowell today. Now, Angie has an amazing story, right? So her and her husband traveled the world as in the Navy, right? So thank you for your service for you and your husband, right? Because that is a team effort as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
You raised five children or raising five children.
Raised. We're empty nesters.
Are we still raising though?
Yes, actually, that's true.
I mean, I'm not an empty nester yet, but they're getting to the point where they don't need me as much. So I still feel like I'm still raising them to a degree, right? Still paying for things.
Coaching.
Yes, but they don't pay me for that. I pay them.
You're building your life skills.
But Angie, welcome to Entrepreneurial Impact. And I want to share with everybody your back history. You know, what impacted you, obviously traveling the world and being a naval family, gave you a very strong foundation. But were there things in your life prior to that and prior to meeting your husband that kind of set you up for the success that you guys are now experiencing in the real estate side of things?
That's kind of a loaded question. I mean, yes,
we got all that.
we have a lot to talk about. I mean, I met my husband really young. We were in college and we got married at 21. We've been married for 33 years. So you can figure out our age from there. We're grandparents, actually, believe it or not, which we're still, you know, struggling with that concept. But, you know, so we've grown up together doing this military lifestyle, but I think my life kind of prepared me even to live that lifestyle. I did not grow up in the most stable of families, and I had to do a lot on my own. And that when it, you know, a lot of people can look at their life and just kind of go, "Oh, woe is me." But I looked back and I while it wasn't ideal, I saw right away that it prepared me to be the military spouse with a husband who deployed. You know, he was in for 29 years. He just retired 3.5, 4 years ago. And the first 20 years, he was deployed all the time. And we moved every year and a half. So we're picking up, plopping down in a new city, and he would leave. And here I am with these five kids going, "Oh my gosh," you know, no family, no real support. And so you have to kind of suck it up and do what you have to do. You know, people always would ask me, you know, I don't know how you did it and all of that. And you don't have a choice. You can either crumble under the stress of it all, or you can just dig in and accept it and do the best that you can. And it was really hard. It was really hard.
It prepared me for a second.
What's that?
I want to pause you on that thought real quick, because those are things that I found in my life that I have said. And the truth of the matter is you do have a choice.
Well, that is true. Yeah, I agree.
But I think a lot of people just like, because of who you are, right? And who certain people are, we fight, we drive, we soldier on. But the fact of the thing is, none of it's easy. Right.
Right.
And every day with kids and, you know, dealing with deployment, there's a real hardship in that. So don't sell yourself short saying I didn't have a choice, because you made a choice every day.
That's true. And I guess because my mindset is such that, you know, you do just dig in and you power through it. You know, that's what I did. And that tenacity, I think, and that perseverance. I used to say that perseverance was my middle name, because we had to persevere through a lot of challenges. And you know, I think for a lot of people, they stop short when things get uncomfortable. But as we know, as entrepreneurs, the discomfort that you're in is exactly where you need to be, because you have to break through that to go to the next level in your life. And so I'm really grateful for the challenges. Are there things that I wish I would have done better and differently? 100%. I wish I would have leaned in harder, honestly. I wish I would have accepted it better than I did, because there was a lot of, you know, lamenting and kind of fighting, you know, just personally inside. And when you do that, you miss out on opportunities. When you focus on the problem or focus on the challenge, you miss the blessing in all of it, which is to make you better, to help you, you know, develop your character more. We don't develop character. We don't grow by sitting in comfort, but yet that's where we want to be. We want to be in a little snuggly blanket with our sweats on. You know, we don't want to be grinding.
We see ourselves, right? That we're, the picture that's been painted for us, whether it's Norman Rockwell or the Thursday night television, right? That we think, oh, this is what life is, or this is what I'm supposed to achieve.
Yeah.
But that's not real.
No, it's a disservice to people. Life is hard. This is what we tell our kids, you know. Life is supposed to be hard. Hard is a good thing. Do hard things. And I think, and honestly, you know, this is totally off on a tangent, not about business at all. This is about family stuff. But this is one of the things that I'm not saying we're perfect parents. I'm very blessed. I have wonderful adult children. They're amazing. Two of them work for us in two of our businesses. And I'm really, really grateful for the young men and women that they are. And what I see a lot of parents do nowadays, and really for, gosh, probably the last 20 years, they wrap their kids in bubble wrap and they never want them to experience hardship. My kids had more hardship than most people. The older three kids went to three high schools. The younger two went to two high schools. They got, you know, they were not in the good old boy system for sports. You know, they were really talented kids, but seeing them go through that was incredibly excruciating as a parent, because you saw how much how much they had to struggle. I'm so grateful that they went through that now. I'm so grateful because they are, they're resilient. They're resilient young people, and they're amazing young adults. And I'm excited to watch what they're doing in their life.
What a great way to look at that. Because here's the fact of the matter, it is as you know, we're raised, I know how I was raised, and I grew up in a challenging situation. My parents are amazing people, and we got by and we survived. And now I'm able to do things differently than they were. So my kids don't get that, right?
Yeah.
Your kid growing up and traveling the way that you guys had different types of adversity that few will experience. However, it has set them with a drive and a fortitude that's going to, or has prepared them for life outside home.
Right. And it, you know, what's funny is, it's not funny. It's really cool. They're entrepreneurs as well. You know, they've taken that, and turned, they're taking their circumstances in life and they're making something of it. They're setting their own goals. They're building their own future in their own way. And you know, we're just here watching it. And we, my husband and I, you know, feel a responsibility to lead by example. That's one of the things that fuels us to continue to be successful, is that they are watching us. And we're really big on leadership in our family. In fact, funny story, you know, my kids are not, you know, they're just good all American kids, but they're not brainiacs or anything. They don't have these amazing, you know, Northern Virginia SAT scores that all these kids have. You know, and I remember in one of the high schools my son went to in Southern California, he was like, oh, you know, I feel so stupid. There's all these really smart kids around. And I was like, look, dude, the McDaniels major in leadership. All these kids are going to be working for you one day. And so don't even sweat it. Do your best. You know, keep striving to do your best. But, you know, we're majoring in leadership, and a lot of these kids can't lead their way out of a paper bag, which is a thing that we say in the military all the time.
I love that.
You know,
majoring in leadership. That's
a earmark. And we, as the parents, as the matriarch and patriarch of our little McDaniel clan, you know, we're the example. We set the pace and we set the example for them. And that's what drives us. You know, we're trying to leave a legacy. You know, we will leave a legacy. We're not trying. We're doing it. We're building the legacy for our children, our grandchildren. You know, we have a 2-year-old granddaughter, a 1-year-old grandson, and another little girl on the way. And I mean, wow, it's just, I feel like time is short. Like, we got to hurry. You know, we're in our mid 50s now, it's like, okay, we got to make this happen. You know, these kids are depending on us. Our family is depending on us. We need to leave them something to carry on. And that, we want to be successful monetarily too. And leaving that legacy, that's part of it. But we want to show them that, you know, we're continuing to grow into our, you know, older years.
You're setting an amazing example and have done incredible things for your family. And I love, and we'll come back to legs, but I love that how that just kind of spiders out.
Right? Yeah.
Because you have set that example and now they have seen that and learned it and lived it. Right. And now they can interpret it in their own avenues, say, this is what it means to me. And this is what I'm going to do with it.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
You just kind of, you know, that butterfly effect.
Right? Yeah. It's fun. Out.
Now, you look at your experience of 29 years in the service, right? And moving every year and a half. Real estate seems like a logical transition, but was it that simple?
No, you know, the funny thing is Rich told me for years, he's like, you should do real estate because we would buy a house and then live in it for a little bit and then we'd have to move. And so it would become a rental property. And we became what I call landlords by default. It wasn't a good experience. You know, I mean, we had a few okay experiences in there, but we didn't really know what we were doing, as I see in most of landlord world. And the property management industry, in our experience, was equally, if not were, you know, more terrible. And we joked, seriously, 25 years ago, maybe 30 years ago, we should open up a property management company one day. You know, just half joking, just because we saw like it's not that hard. You just do a good job, you know, follow through, communicate well. These are all like basics in business. And as an industry, as we know, when you say property management, it immediately conjures up these really negative connotations, kind of like used car salesman. You know, there's some other things and out there that conjure up a certain mindset or a certain thought of what you think something is. But, you know, Rich always wanted me to go into real estate. And I was like, that's crazy. We're moving every 18 months. How am I going to build a sphere? And when we moved to Virginia back in 2012, I didn't know one person, but I had a taste of real estate the year and a half before I got here when we were stationed in Southern California. I had stopped homeschooling. I put all the kids in school, and I always knew I wanted to do something. I had a drive in me to accomplish things. And so I started down one path in to become a financial planner. The funny thing is I absolutely hate math, and there's a lot of math involved in that. But as I was going down this path, I had this open door. There was a businesswoman that I met that I really respected, and she happened to own a property management company. Well, I met with her, picked her brain on business, you know, hey, I've been at home as a mom. I'm 41 years old at the time. I don't have any resume, but I know I can do things and I can run circles around people. And I picked her brain. Anyway, a month and a half later, she asked me to come work for her. So I did. And I got some experience and I got a taste. And also I saw what I was able to do in the real world. But then we had to move. You know, I started doing her business development, meeting with clients, you know, fixing all these things in her company that I could easily go in and go, okay, this is messed up. We need to fix this, you know? And so that's what I would do. But then we moved to Virginia because Rich got stationed here and we were only supposed to be here 10 months. So I had a little bit of time where I was in crisis mode. Like, what am I going to do? But this thing kept nagging at me, this property management thing. I thought, you know, I'm good at this. I can do this and I can help people that are like us. And Northern Virginia is the perfect place for that because it's so transient. Challenge, I didn't know anybody. Nobody knew me. I had a brand new real estate license. You know, I transferred it to Virginia, you know, did all those things, but nobody knew me. And so I started calling up real estate companies and started calling up management companies and just trying to find someone who would let me build a real estate portfolio because you have to have a broker license. So I needed a broker and I'm a green realtor. That sounds like a winning combination, property management and brand new realtor. So, you know, long story short, I did find a broker in the KW system who allowed me to start building my portfolio. And what I did was I just started serving agents because they needed someone of quality to refer their clients to. And the primary way that I served them was I screened their tenants. And they had a need, and I filled the need to screen tenants for their rental listings. And by doing that, they saw that I did what I said I was going to do. I showed up. I was competent, and they could rely on me. And then they started referring clients to me for property management. So that's kind of how it all transpired. You know, when an agent, you know, if you ask agents, do you have a property management referral? They're like, no, don't, you know, so the need in the market that I saw was for quality property management. And that's what I had seen our entire military career. We needed it and other people need it. And it's MIA in the marketplace.
That's why I was going to let you tell your story. And I mean, you say when you went into the eight ladies' office in California and said, hey, I don't have a resume, but boy, did you have a resume, right?
You know, it's hard. People don't know, though. People are so detached from the military unless they've been in, and they're not around military people. They're not around military spouses. And so they don't understand the kinds of things that you have to do. It's hard to put that on a resume. In fact, when I got to Virginia for the first year, I started applying to different jobs, and I actually did really well in the interview process. I was able to coddle together somewhat of a resume to get myself in the door. And then I did really well. But when they found out I was a military spouse, and this is really important, they found out I was a military spouse. And this is what happens with many military spouses out there. They don't want to hire you because they know you're not going to be around very long and they don't want to invest. And so I would get at the top of the interview, and I was actually interviewing like wealth management firms. Like I got my foot in the door, and, but they ended up, they would go with somebody else because they're like, oh, she's not really going to be around. And after going through that a couple of times, and I had this property management thing, this real estate stuff in the back of my head, I finally just said, you know what? Because it didn't make logical sense to do it. And that's what I was struggling with. My husband was still active duty. I had no idea how long we were going to be here. His initial tour was 10 months, and then we didn't know. So it didn't make sense to me to do real estate. But after going through that, I was like, I am not going to have anybody else tell me what I'm worth. I'm not going to have them pay me some minuscule amount of money, and I'm not going to be denied. I'm going to create my own business. I'm going to create my own ecosystem. I'm going to do this thing, even though it doesn't make sense, I'll figure it out. And that was what I did. And I had this vision of Command Properties. And, you know, and of course, that comes from our military background as a Navy family of taking command of things. So I was taking command of my life, my career, my future. And the funny thing is, I remember lying in bed with my husband one night. I was like, I'm just going to do this thing. And if you get transferred somewhere else, we'll figure it out. And I'm going to call it Command Property. Well, at first we were Command Property Management and then morphed into Command Properties. And he said, you know, I think this is going to bless our, you doing this is going to bless our family one day. And that was 12 years ago. And now he's retired from the military and was able, because of the business that I built, because the chance that I took to do that, not letting the challenge of, well, my husband might get sent somewhere. He actually did. We had to move in the middle of building this business to Norfolk. So we weren't right here in Northern Virginia. And that's it. That's the whole thing. You know, I had, but because of our lifestyle, I had to be creative. I had to be flexible. I had to partner with people to continue the business. And so I've learned to do business a different way than what most people do, how most people are set up. And I'm able to employ other military spouses, allow other spouses to grow professionally, still be there for their kids, which is, you know, one of the key issues in the military spouse community. You still need to be there for your family because your spouse is serving. My spouse was serving at very high levels. But yeah, I mean, it, you know, I had to be creative, but I wasn't going to let, it was nagging at me too much. I wasn't going to let the what ifs keep me from taking action. I just had to take action. And I'm so thankful. I get emotional. We just had our company party at Christmas and we have these two bit, you know, I mean, we kind of have three businesses and some other things going on. But our two main companies, we had this room full of people and I cry every time because every year you see the growth in person and it's really overwhelming. And now our two oldest kids work for us in those businesses and it's so gratifying. And I'm so grateful that I didn't let the excuses keep me from taking action.
It's amazing when you're able to step back and look across, right, that room like that and goes, look what we've done. From the lightning bolt of you saying Command Properties is where I'm going to go. Why, you, like you said, you were dabbling and looking at careers and maybe real estate, but maybe something else, right? You obviously, would, a C-level executive would have been no problem for you. That's very apparent. But you realize that the flexibility and the passion was there, right? Your experiences through having to do all the moves, the military, the raising the families, right? Going through all those things and going, I can do this better. There's got to be a better way, led to you. Here we are 13 years later, right? Building out Command Properties from Command Property Management, right? And now Rent Risk, right? Which has kind of come from the property management side of things. So why don't we just kind of share with everybody a little bit what Rent Risk is, and then how did that come to play from the property management business that you guys built?
Well, it's funny. So like I said before, I started serving agents so they could get to know me through screening tenants for them. And we just became known for doing a great job with tenant screening. So I'd have all these agents come to me and want me to do that. And then, but as our management portfolio grew, it wasn't really scalable. It wasn't really, it's not this big money maker. We just didn't have the capacity to do it. With the demand that was there. So I had always wanted to scale that portion and teach other people how to do tenant screening. Because when you're in the landlord space, the number one, there are two things landlords are worried about. And this is what realtors need to understand and why I'm so passionate about getting realtors to open up and expand their minds, to be in a growth mindset about this one third of real estate that's being ignored in the marketplace, which is the landlord-tenant space. But landlords are worried about, is my tenant going to pay on time and is my property going to get trashed? And the number one domino to that is tenant screening. If you do a thorough job screening the tenant, you are protecting yourself against a lot of risk factors. In our, you know, last 12 years of screening thousands of tenants, with our model, we have never had an eviction. We've never had a damaged property or tenants who have a habit of habitual late payments. People can't believe that, but it's because our standards are
high. I had properties on my own and I had to deal with an eviction. That was...
Well, you know, it's not that it can't happen, but the percentage, the likelihood of that happening goes way down when you have a higher standard. With most management companies, the standard is very low of who they let in the door. And our mindset is that this is one of your, if not the largest asset you own. And before you give the keys to someone to move into that and borrow that asset, you better make sure they're qualified. And so Rent Risk was born out of our standard of how we screen tenants, with credit criminal and eviction history, a certain income level, and, you know, great rental history. And so we're analyzing a behavior pattern of that applicant, and we're assessing how risky this person is to the landlord. When we developed Rent Risk, so when my husband got out of the Navy, this was this is what he jumped into, essentially, is we had the opportunity to start Rent Risk. We partnered with Experian. It took about 2 years to go through compliance. It's a very difficult industry to break into. We are the, in the David and Goliath story, we are the David with a bunch of Goliaths. We have a lot of big companies who are our competition, but we think we have a great product, and it's based on our experience and our experience being realtors. So what Rent Risk does it's a free tool for the realtor who is helping their clients, their landlord clients, keeps them in the ecosystem. And it's also for self-managing landlords. But what it is, we're not just giving people reports. We're showing them, we're giving them metrics on what to analyze within the data that they're receiving so that they can assess whether this person is a low, medium, or high risk applicant. And if you're a realtor and you're coming alongside your landlord clients, this is really critical that you know what you're doing, because you are a fiduciary. You know, our mindset is a fiduciary, but if a landlord decides we're going to rent our property out for a little bit, a lot of times the agent just kind of takes a step back. Well, okay, I can't really help with that. That's when you need to move in and go, let me help protect you. Let me, walk you through it. And in some markets, maybe they, you know, like Northern Virginia, realtors are very active in the rental listing market and very hands-on, but they're not very experienced in the tenant screening part. Like they don't know how to look at reports. And so we walk them through that within each application so they know exactly what to do.
No, I mean, you could be right. Like, I have dealt with my share of rentals, certainly, and on both sides of it, helping people find properties and representing clients as well, but not on a large scale. And I always felt that it was way harder sometimes, a lot of times, to get somebody into a rental property than getting them to buy a property.
Yeah, right?
That screening process, there's a lot there, and there's a lot of flags that you don't take into consideration for profits and history and, you know, three times of my income, all those things. It gets very, very hard. So having somebody to partner with, right, strategically important to say, not only can I help you get this occupied for you, here's a company that I utilize and work with, right, that's going to best protect your interest in the property. By helping us find, right, not always the best qualified, but the best tenant.
Right, right. Yeah, and we walk you through that. It's completely free for the user. You know, the tenant obviously pays the application fee, but what's great about it, especially for the realtor, is that we've built in a lot of efficiencies. So when you're really busy, you know, a lot of realtors like, oh my gosh, this rental is taking up more time than my sales business. But the reason you want to, one of the many reasons you want to be in the rental business is A, your client needs you more than ever. They are going to sell. Trust me, the average is like 5 years. You know, it's 3 to 5 years, because if they just moved out of that property, they've got to sell if they don't want to pay, you know, capital gains, you know, so there's a point at which they've got to make a decision to sell. And oftentimes they don't like being landlords, even if they have a tenant who's a good tenant and they're paying on time, they don't like having repairs and they don't like having to feed that thing because they're paying where they're living. And then now they have to feed this rental property. And a lot of them, they don't like doing that. So they end up selling. So the agent needs to come alongside them during that time. Also, these tenants will become buyers as well. So you're feeding your pipeline for future buyers.
No, let's say I'm activating tomorrow. Somebody's been renting for about 3 years.
Yeah.
Moved out of state and they're like, hey, it's time to sell. For all the things that you just got. But those relationships matter.
Yes.
They could have gone anywhere, right?
Exactly.
So when we look at the industry, you've seen a lot of things. I mean, honestly, the think about where you've come in 13 years, right, from getting your initial entry into real estate and moving to here to Northern Virginia, a lot has changed in the industry and the market. What do you see still needs to change, right? You've influenced change, but what do you see some of the biggest things? If I'm looking at property management, or if I'm looking that side of the industry, where do you see it going? Where do you think it needs to go?
The standards need to be raised. Bottom line, there are so many property management companies out there and that are not operating in a way that benefits the public, that benefits their clients. And this, they need to have a higher standard with how you operate. I'm really passionate about that. I want to be a change agent in that industry, to call people to a higher standard in business practices and how they serve their clients, because it's really impacting people in a negative way. The communication, the quality of service, the attention to the property, the kind of job people are doing with tenant screening, all of that needs to be changed. The whole system needs to be disrupted completely. I would like to see realtors being a part of that in some way. I think, you know, the realtors on the front lines, and I think they can be a big change agent. And I think brokerages don't need to be afraid to disrupt in that marketplace, in that area of real estate. And I see a lot of brokerages that step back from that.
How do you make that change?
Having a platform like this, being able to get my voice out, you know, I think it's changing a mindset. It's changing a mindset in the real estate industry, you know, from the top down, because everything comes from leadership. I can't tell you how many VPs and CEOs of very large national brokerages that I've spoken to in the past year as we have shared the RentRisk platform, because we're national, you know, we're all 50 states and US territories. And our strategy has been to grow through partnerships and grow from the top down. There's been a lot that's happened, obviously, in the last year in real estate. And so brokerages, you know, have had a lot of distractions. And I think things are changing this year. Not that the distractions aren't there, because there's still a lot happening. But I would like to help real estate leaders understand that their agents need to be better equipped and prepared in the marketplace, in the rental space, in the landlord space, because like I said earlier, it's about 34% of the real estate market is landlord tenant and, you know, investment real estate. And agents are, you know, kind of not really involved. They're not really engaged there. So that's why I think a real estate agent and the brokerages, from a leadership perspective, the mindset needs to change from, oh, we don't get involved in that, to, no, we need to penetrate that. We need to be the leaders there.
When I look at the industry as a whole, and I love that you said, you know, standards, because that's something that I've been championing for a while. Is like, we need to raise our standards. And without going on a whole other tangent of the past year, we wouldn't be in some of the challenges that we're in if our standards were at a higher level from service and contracts and communication and relationships and our clients and
right.
All those things. So I completely agree with you. So as we start to wrap up today, and I think you've kind of answered it, but I'm going to ask it again in a different way. It's like, so if I say you're building a lasting legacy, what does legacy actually mean to you? Above and beyond what the companies you've built or the lives you've changed, what legacy, when you're leaving behind, that you say, I've done this and I've done all that I can do to left off for the next person?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, the vision that I have with that is, the vision that I have is really shaking up the industry in a national way. You know, real estate, traditional real estate, buying and selling is being shaken. It's forcing people to adapt and change. And I want to be that person. And I do sales too. You know, that's part of my real estate business as well. But the opportunity is there in the property management industry, in the tenant screening industry, to change the mindset of how people approach their business or their investment property. And I want to be that voice that shakes things up in a big way, from an industry-wide way. And I need the voice to be able to do that, you know, the platform, because it's how you think, it's how you approach business, it's how you do business. And that requires a mindset shift. So if I can in any way impact that to make the industry better, to elevate the standards and have people expect higher standards, demand higher standards, then I want to do that.
Let's just march down to NAR together and demand higher standards. I would love to see that happen. Listen, Angie, I can't thank you enough for joining me today. The time has just flown by. So thank you very much for joining us on Entrepreneurial Impact.
This is fun. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. All right, everybody, tune in next week. But for today, that's a wrap.